Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hailstorm, uncomfortable, 42 degrees in Kansas City. It's Johnny Dare, Nikki Pace, T-Bone, Jay Gregg. Everybody made it yet? Week 2, Lalo 2020, everybody. And it's funny, you get to hear from a lot of friends, people checking in on each other, across the country, because we're all in the same boat. And it really is everybody.
It doesn't discriminate.
No. And, I've been concerned with these guys in Nashville. Of course, I have a bunch of friends, but the closest ones, it's Lizzie Hale and Joe live there. And, that goddamn tornado just beat their ass. And they just get through that, and they, of course, it's not rebuilt, and bam, now the coronavirus hits, and now everybody's on lockdown there, so they've just gotten their ass handed to them. But as always, she is doing great and making great time of it.
Our next guest is a Grammy Award-winning artist and longtime friend of the show whose powerful vocals have made her one of the most recognizable singers in rock and roll. Her name is Lizzie Hale. The band is Hailstorm. Second Grammy earlier this year, and she is spending her downtime during the coronavirus quarantine to work on new music, as well as being a positive, hopeful voice for all of her fans. Please welcome, longtime friend of the show, Hailstorm lead vocalist, Lizzie Hale.
Sitting by the lake?
Hi, yes I am actually. How you doing, man?
Good, how are you?
Oh, I'm good. It's just, strange times.
Yeah.
Like, living in the now. What I realized is that there's no, more, weekdays or weekends. Everyone's just, working from home. So, it's, today and tomorrow and yesterday, and that's the days.
Yes.
I have a funny story to tell you, though, just to kind of, break through here, because I've been laughing my, tuckets off. And all of this. So that Alice Cooper head that you sent me, it has brought me so much joy. And so it's become a quarantine game here at the house. So it started with, I have a coat rack, or just that I hang my leather jacket on or whatever in my bedroom, whatever I'm wearing at the time. And Joe took my Alice Cooper head from its stellar display and set it on top of the coat rack, and I walked into the bedroom and it scared the bejesus out of me, right? Because it's just it looks like this man is it or whatever, we're quarantined together, so there's nobody else in the house, right? So I returned the favor and I hid it in his he's got a sock underwear closet drawer thing, so I hid it in there. Scared the bejesus out of him. He then returned the favor in my vanity where I keep my makeup or whatever, and he put it in one of those. And so then I put it in our safe. And now it is currently hidden somewhere. It's Now it's up to me to accidentally find it again. Oh, but it's become so like you're like lobbing back and forth. And I just wanted to thank you first and foremost for that gift because it's become the quarantine game.
Oh, you know what? Here's your next move. Hide it in the freezer.
Oh, that's a good move.
It opens it up.
The liquor cabinet.
Totally gonna go in there.
Yeah.
That's a great idea. I got to find it first, and then that's my next move.
So you guys...
He's not listening. He doesn't know. Oh, man. Dude, this is crazy. It's crazy. It's like, we're hanging out. Luckily for us, all four of us live in Nashville now. As of recently, RJ recently moved here, too, like right before everything kind of started. So it's weird to be like close to my bandmates, but like not actually like be hanging out. Everyone's just kind of like holed up in their place.
Sure.
But luckily for us, we're just kind of writing for a record right now. So I'm still able to work, from home, keep myself busy. But how you doing?
I'm fine.
Listening to your saga, your fight with the grass.
That's my normal, So I'm lucky. I get to come to work every day still. And so Monday through Friday, I've got a normal life in the sense I can get on the air. We can do the show. So that, I can't tell you how much I love that. And I think it's an important thing for the city to have just a voice that they know to hear and get information that they believe they can trust. And it's just, so I've been okay. I'm more worried about everybody else. I was just thinking about that if anything about this is bothering me the most, it would be I'm worried about friends in different places. I'm worried about my mom and dad. I'm worried about the nurses they have and making sure that they're safe and they don't give my father or mother anything. It's more worry about everybody else than it is too terrible. It's not bad. I can go out on my motorcycle and ride. It's perfect social distancing. I can go out to the land and mow or just screw around and just whatever. And it's just everybody else I'm afraid of. I got a buddy, Chuck, in New York, who wrote for Loudwire, and he's from Kansas City, and him and his wife, and they just had a baby, and so, they can't leave the city, and he's like, hey, can you get me some masks and some gloves and some sanitizer and stuff? He goes, there's nothing left here. He goes, it's crazy. So, that went out this morning to get overnighted to him, so I'm just, you guys went through that tornado and then hit with this.
Oh, I know. Like, everything got put on a standstill, and that was, like, the first thing that kind of, like, when it got real, because we were about to do this kind of benefit show just to to raise money for everyone that needed help from the tornadoes, here in Nashville. And so we got the whole rock and roll community together and everyone's going to do this big show. And then literally like, I'm telling you, it was like 3 days before the show and everybody called like, we have to shut this down. We can't be responsible. And I'm like, oh, wow, it's like that real,
right.
Like that was, it was crazy. That wasn't 3 years ago. That was like 3 weeks ago. But it's like it was just it's nuts around here. But I don't know. Like everybody's been. I'm in the same boat that you are. Like luckily, I'm able to work from home, and I bought a house in Nashville officially for almost 5 years ago, and since then have been kind of building it to be a fortress anyway.
Great.
So, I have a studio in the basement and I can like do all these guesting spots if I need to and we're writing and everything, but I'm in the same boat. I'm concerned about everybody else and up until recently there was a lot of stupidity going on as far as just people not paying attention and being like, we're just going to tough it out. It's like, I'm not afraid of no flu. And I'm like, okay, guys, seriously, it's all hands on deck if we want to get through this.
Yeah.
It's funny.
You think about the idea. And that's what drives me crazy. I go, I get it. You're young. I'm probably not going to die from this. You're not going to die from this. But you know what? If I get it, if somebody had told me, hey, your grandma might die, you might catch something, not even know you have it, and go kill your grandmother, like, I would have listened and been like, oh, now I get it. I'll go home now.
Yeah.
People have got to take it seriously. And I know it. I know what it is. People don't want to consider their own mortality, or they don't want to be afraid. So they just pretend that the risk isn't there. It's called normalcy bias. and risk bias. And so they just kind of think they can pretend it away or go in denial. I'm like, look, man, you're going to really harm others, if not yourself, God forbid. But, I mean, Joe Diffie, how about him this weekend? This poor guy.
Oh, I know.
61, gone, man. And it's not like he didn't have money and a hospital. If anybody can't take this seriously, like, he's not some homeless guy who didn't get to the hospital in time. This is a guy in good health. With money in his pocket, medical insurance, all the chances in the world to survive this, and it took him to take it seriously.
Yep.
You know,
absolutely, and it's interesting now because you realize, you know, and if I can squeeze any like positivity, you know, into all of this, what I'm realizing is that like all the things that we were all fighting about, that we were all these like stupid, petty differences that we were just
right.
Literally a couple of weeks ago arguing stupidly about. Nobody's really talking about that right now. It's interesting to like see that in the community. Like everyone's kind of like, yeah, no, we're doing the same thing, and it's global. It's not just in the. It's just everybody's like, yeah, no, we're all in this boat together. And how's everyone doing? Like I see that a lot happening, like just in our. You know, our fan community, and it's a beautiful thing to see, like, everyone kind of checking up on each other, just like, hey, how you doing? How's the family? How's your mental health? All of that. So, yeah. there is that, too. But, you know, it's like, if we're going to get through this and get to, like, doing some festival shows again, because, man, everything got canceled, everything's postponed, and I don't know about you, Johnny, but I need a gig.
Yeah, well, it's going to happen. Imagine that wave. When this wave breaks, when we get through this, and we will always get through this, when it breaks, the shows, oh, my God, the parties. Imagine what's going to happen.
Oh, it's going to be epic, absolutely epic. And it's funny because, like, we're all, like, as far as in the touring community, we're all talking about that. And I've been on many video chat, like just hangouts with some of my touring friends and my musician friends, and all these guys are like, man, but it's like when this comes out, like everyone's gonna like end up being on tour together, like there's gonna be like these epic packages together,
yeah.
And like because it's gonna be this crazy celebration because we all did this together. So I don't know, that to me is like a huge driving force in just encouraging everybody to just be like, hey. Do your part.
Well, that's it.
Selfishly, we all want rock shows again. If you don't do it for your grandma, do it for the rock.
Exactly right. I was wondering about you and Joe. Like, you know, it's you guys spend so much time on the bus and the, you know, in the time machine. And on tour and all the years you've known each other. So this isn't too hard to be labored together. Like you guys are, you know, it's for real. Like I'm like, God, because, you know, my girlfriend doesn't live with me, but now she does. And, you know, through this, I don't want her to be at her own house by herself. You know, it's weird times. So I'm like, wow, this is a lot. Like, all of a sudden, now we're thrown in this, like, full time, man. It's been good, but it is weird.
Yeah, you wake up, you're like, oh, it's you again.
Yeah, right. Oh, you can tell this sense of humor went right out the window about that. I snore, and she's like, she has no more sense. She yanked the goddamn sheet off me. This is her move. I didn't know this. If I snore, she doesn't want to wake me up. She's very sweet. She pulls the sheet off me until I get cold and I turn over on my side or I change position.
You know, that is a classic girl move.
Yeah.
It's either to pull the sheets off or just kind of like do like this like ahem and just like shove.
Yeah, right.
I'm like, that's really going to wake you up. It's going to like shuffle the deck a little bit.
Yeah, that's it. That's right. And it's, are you fish biting, by the way? My bluegill are now, and I just saw in my pond the catfish are up, and my koi that I put in there are just showing up and kind of sluggishly eating, but everybody seems to be kind of waking up and coming around.
Yeah, it's been a little lazy. We've been out fishing a couple times because it just feels like going out without going out, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm just like, hey, do you want to go out on the boat? Yeah, let's do it. And I have not been very fortunate. I feel like right here they're a little lazy, and so I'll get a few like teasers, but I'm not able to set the hook yet. So for some reason it's just like they're just like I'm not interested. So maybe today.
Yeah,
I keep trying.
the sun's got to come out for a while before the before everything you know flips over the bottom of that water comes up and gets it all good. And by the way, you don't have any idea how much I love the fact that you guys live on a lake, that you guys would go fishing in the morning and write great rock songs during the afternoon. I'm like, that's the best life ever. That's how you stay real and centered, and you keep churning out great music because you live for real.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, it's funny. I started, like, kind of, I've been living and dying by a schedule at home because I think that's the only way to keep myself sane. Because I usually live and die by a schedule, but everything has kind of gotten shuffled around. But yeah, I don't know. Like, doing stuff like that for yourself, you know, I'm even exercising. This is what it's come to.
Oh, I got a home gym now. Yeah. I borrowed and stole weights, a weight bench. I got the last weight bench I could find it at Dick's Sporting Goods. Got the free weights together. So, yeah, cleaned out the room in the basement and die. So that's an everyday occurrence now.
Well, likewise. You know, I wake up and I work out and, you know, have my coffee and I'll start in a couple ideas. And then when I get stuck on that, I'll go and fish and whatever. It's like, you know, like I said, I'm extremely lucky because, like, I have, you know, a lot of friends who are kind of, like, the future is unknown for all of us, but I have a lot of friends that are literally just being like, I don't know, you know, if I'm going to have, a job.
Oh, I know.
You know, and it's nuts. Oh, we just did this kind of modern-day telethon thing on Twitch where it was just so many different artists and everyone's raising money for medical supplies and for hopefully a vaccine eventually. And it's great to see everybody coming together and supporting one another. But I don't know. It's important, you know, for anybody listening right now to absolutely remember that we are all doing this together. We're all in this together and we're going to get through it together. We really will. You know, I mean, who knows how our species has survived through
I went out on the bike. You'd love this. So I jumped on this new Harley Davidson Livewire, this electric bike. I wanted to really push it up this Wolcott Road that's out here, and it's a great twisty road. Everybody who rides knows it. It's between 435 and Leavenworth. So I come ripping through there, and I realize I'm right by Leavenworth Cemetery where my great uncle Paulie is buried. And this was the guy. He was super important in so many reasons in my life. A great uncle. He was just, he was the old guy, you know, Italian, like slip you $100, you know, tell you you always have to walk it around money or he'd take the straw away from me when he was 9. He goes, men don't drink from straws. I mean, like things, these really old school, like the, you know, always wore a hat and would sit at the end of the bar and have one scotch a day. And he was just a man's man. And to the end, it was all a scotch and a woman, and his world was perfect. So I go sit up and by his tombstone in Leavenworth, and I'm like, it's getting weird, Uncle Paul. And I start looking at the dates, and he was born in February of 1917, which means he was 2 years old, a year and a half, 2 years old, when the Spanish flu ripped through the United States and the world and killed 25 million in the first 25 weeks. When he was 20, he went and fought World War II. And in between that was the Great Depression. And he came out of all of that and more on the other side. That's when, you know, it's going to be okay. You just got to be smart. If they shoot, duck. If there's an illness on a doorknob, don't touch it. You know, it's just use your brain and you'll get through this okay. But take it seriously. Just because there's not an explosion going off doesn't mean it's not a real dangerous place out there. It really is.
Absolutely. And, you know, if you think about it from that perspective, okay, you know, that generation, there was so much going on. And all we have to do is, you know, wash our hands.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
You know, we got this people. Come on. You know, like, and we're living in a beautiful age of, you know, the internet.
Yeah.
And we have Netflix on our side. You know, everybody stay calm and watch Tiger King. And we're
oh my God. So that Tiger King maniac, I have some great friends who've had an animal sanctuary, a big cat sanctuary for 30 years. And they're down in Arkansas, in Eureka Springs. It's called Turpentine Creek, and they're a genuine sanctuary. So I knew of this guy because they're real close friends, and everybody kind of keeps an eye on that community. If you're into saving these tigers, you know who the creeps are, and everybody knew that guy was a full-bore creep. Like, he's a breeder, and he was not what you're supposed to be in that industry. But that yeah. being said, holy hell, he's the number one costume for Halloween 2020.
Oh, absolutely. If Halloween is Halloween this year.
Yeah. Have you watched the videos?
Yeah. Dude, it's nuts. I'm a couple episodes in, and I cannot believe every single episode. It's like, oh, I thought the last episode was crazy.
Yeah.
Oh, these guys, you just like, there's no way to tell. It's like, it's just everybody's nuts.
And he's real.
Yeah, and it's real, and that's what it's not a a fictional character. So it's that's been crazy.
His music videos are the best. His music videos.
Oh, okay.
Oh, so good.
Okay, I literally my jaw was on the floor with the first one, and then it keeps getting better.
Yeah.
Like whoever produced this show needs to win some award because it's like okay. I know from episode to episode that if I think something is nuts and my jaw's on the floor, the next one is just going to be that much more epic. So, yeah.
And how painful.
I already have people dressing up like the guy, and sending me pictures and stuff.
Well, how painful is it to be that? That dude wanted fame and fortune so badly. Now he's in the joint.
So
and he's doing 22 to life or something, and everything's happening. He's just not here.
He's not here. Just enjoy it. I know the irony.
Anvil. He's the anvil of reality stars.
Oh my gosh! I know.
You're like God. You cannot catch a break, you crazy bastard.
It's funny. I watched that. That was a couple years ago. I watched that Anvil documentary, and like I couldn't
I
help
love
but
him.
Like. Just love those guys at the end. They're just like, oh, buddy.
Yeah, yeah. Well, don't you always love those guys? Because I'd love that. Anvil, you actually do love because they were never the great looking guys like the 80s guys. They never quite had it, but they were very good in their own way. But their undying devotion and belief in themselves is so endearing, and it makes you love them so much. I went back and bought every Anvil record because I just wanted them to know somebody was buying back. I just literally downloaded, bought them all. They're too good.
I did the same thing.
Yeah.
I've done that with so many bands over the years. I think that it's truly important, not to be an ass,
yeah.
Just be absolutely genuine because I remember being on tour with certain bands that I was I'm not really into their music, whatever, but we'll go on tour, it's fine. And then you fall in love with these people, and you're like, all right, I'm buying every record, now know every song, it's just, that's the beautiful thing, about music, but it's also, we're all human, and we're all we're all just trying to do our thing, man, and we all got into this for a reason. If you're actually, if you're hearing about a certain band, it means that they work really hard to make sure that you heard about them,
Right.
So, yeah, just that whole respect.
Well, I think you lead the charge really well. And, I love you, and I'm a huge fan of just who you are as a human being. It's never, never been easy for a girl in music. And now you've kicked every door that came down, every wall was broken through, and Hailstorm's a band. They don't look at it as, oh, look at that beautiful girl who with an incredible voice. Look, she's going to play a rock song. Now it's all gone. And I think for the first time in music, I think Heart did it too. Heart did it really well. Joan Jett certainly, but she was a solo act. But as a band, where you don't see the difference between anybody in the band anymore, you just go, oh, that's Hailstorm. Not a girl in a band. And that, you get up in front of that, then you manage to make it through this industry, then you stay relevant and you keep evolving, the band gets better and better and wins a Grammy, and then, you just think, my God, in the end of it all, you're a good human being. And that is such an incredible journey, all of it, man. But to care about the fans the way you do and the way the other guys in the band do, it's pretty rare. I've been in this thing a long time, and you don't see it often.
Oh, you're very sweet, Johnny. You know, I don't know, man. It's like it's not about this thing. Like, it's not about, like, okay, I'm going to be on stage and I'm going to be rocking or whatever, and you're going to be watching. Like, the reason that I love music and that I love specifically rock music and being at shows and is because of this incredible connection that you have with people that are exactly like you. Like, when I, you know, when I used to be on stage.
Wow, that's happening.
Literally, I have this like conversation like a couple times a day where it's like, oh yeah, that was so 3 weeks ago. But when I'm on stage, you know, you look out at everybody and you just see yourself in everyone. You see all these different versions of all these things that have been inside of you since you were, you know, a kid, and when you first like got bit by the rock bug, you know.
Yeah.
And it's so fulfilling to be connected with so many people. I mean, there's a lot of people that are listening to the show right now, because I've been talking with them over Twitter or whatever, and it's just it's amazing to see everybody checking in on each other. Yeah. And like that, and that's, you know, in a nutshell, that's what's gonna get all of us through this pandemic, is just that connection, you know. And you know, and like I said, I'm hoping that, like, after, you know, I'm hoping for a sunnier future when all of this is done, because I think that, you know, no matter what political side you're on, no matter what, you know, your religious beliefs, all of those things, all of the petty differences that make everybody be like, oh, screw you, I don't like you, or I don't like you, I'm not on your team, or whatever, I am choosing to believe that all of that goes away after this, because, man, like, this virus does not discriminate, and therefore we are all the same. We are all the same person, and we're all doing the same thing, and we're all playing our part. So,
well, we have a common foe. You're right. We have a common enemy now. It's called COVID-19. We do. For, you know, what happens is we all start, we get divided because we're not marching in the same direction. Now we got to march in the same direction. We're in survival mode now.
Yeah. Absolutely, it's a crazy time, but it's also a beautiful opportunity to kind of reset.
Yeah,
you know. So,
you know,
yeah,
what I like?
It's crazy.
I like watching people walk around, keep their social distancing. I live out, you know, outside of the city, so, you know, it's more neighborhood stuff. But you'll see somebody in their yard playing with their kids, or they've got their kid out on away from somebody in a cul-de-sac riding their bicycle. And I see waves. I see people walking their dogs. I'm like, you know what? It's going to be good. And I think there's a lot of good that's going to come out of this. Be careful got to be careful what you ask for and wish for. Everybody wants to go on permanent vacation until you're forced to go on permanent vacation.
Yeah, exactly. They're like, well, I want to go out. Yeah. Dude, it's so funny. Our neighbors across the cove here are, we know them well. Like, everyone's keeping their distance, but, like, you can kind of sort of hear everybody. So, mm-hmm. Like, everyone's just kind of yelling at each other, like, hey, how's it hanging? Like, and then the other night, our neighbors were blasting Hailstorm and then cheering after every song.
Oh, man, that's
what
great.
The cheering was about. Right. So, but then, great. Like, they're texting you, just like, wow, we're blasting Hailstorm. And they're like, I don't know whether they were trying to entice us to come over, but they knew that wasn't going to happen. So
right.
It was a very strange way of communicating. With us, but like that's
you should do a Cove show.
I guess now too.
Cove shows. Yeah. You and Joe, and you could do some like acoustic stuff live from the Cove. It's
we're just gonna start setting up here on the deck. You know, we're just like, all right.
Yeah, the new single will be called "Breathe," just not on me.
Yeah. That's awesome.
It's
we'll do like the police cover "Don't Stand So Close to Me," and themed cover, you know.
I will send you all of the parodies that we've got for this, from COVID-19 to "Come On Eileen" to Jesus Christ, every
"Don't Touch Me."
"Don't Touch Me." Yeah, exactly. Well, here, I'll play this one. This is a short one here. This one is popular. Don't touch me. Don't touch me!
See this? Look at my face. We're all supposed to be sheltered in place. The coronavirus is still thriving. So why is your dumb ass still out driving? Why don't you go home, man?
Hell no,
I don't want to shake your hand. I'll gladly wish you a good day, but only from 6 feet away. Yeah, look here, man, don't mean to be mean, but one thing I have to say, don't touch me.
I don't mean to be rude.
Don't touch me. Yeah, so, you know, it's the Beatles, just wash your hands to I Want to Hold Your Hand or just stay home to Home Sweet Home.
Oh, my gosh, that's awesome. Yeah, no, it's funny how, so I remember, this is, again, like I said, 3 weeks ago, but I remember it still being, like, weird, like when everyone was still out and about and not really taking this seriously, like, everybody kind of started, like, not shaking hands. We're doing, like, the porn star handshake, you know, just like, you know, you know, and it's still being like, I don't want to be rude, but, like, there is a thing. So, and then all of a sudden it got serious, and it's like, it's not, I don't know whether you're doing this either, Johnny, but, like, I'm watching, like, when you're watching shows or, like, a movie, and everybody's, like, together in some, like, strange, like, you know,
yes,
at a show or, like, at a party or whatever. And you're like, oh, that's not relevant anymore.
No, no, don't do that. Don't do it. No. Yeah, I feel the same way.
No. Oh, he shook his hand. Oh, God.
Yeah, yeah. You know. Hey, how's the writing coming for the new record? I was trying to think. I go, man, it's a fearful time. It's a frustrating time. And you have so much time inside your own head that I gotta imagine that this, you know, that's some great inspiration for writing music.
Oh, and I absolutely. It's funny that you actually mentioned that, because, like, yesterday, I was just talking about this, you know, with the guys. Our group chat has gotten a little out of hand.
Right.
Just like, but, you know, everything that I was writing, because we were kind of slotted this time anyway to write, and we actually kind of should be in pre-pro right now, but that's not going to happen for a little bit now, but so we kind of have this extra time to write, and everything that I was writing a couple weeks ago, I'm not going to say it's irrelevant, but now I'm looking at things differently. So to me, it's more about kind of writing in the now, and everything has been either so incredibly personal, because you're kind of, that's what you have is the time in your, inside your own head. Or it's kind of like We Are the World, not specifically,
yeah,
that tune.
No, 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 I get it.
Mean,
yeah.
Like, there's more of a mass, a sense of community and a sense of responsibility, but then also, you know, just kind of like digging a little deeper in the things that are actually really important, you know, and, you know, as you know, as there's always time for, you know, red handprint across my ass, and
yeah,
you,
yeah,
know?
Exactly.
Absolutely, that's definitely going to happen. But you know, because I can't help myself. But there are, you know, there are certain elements that now you're thinking about, and that now you feel are more important than maybe some twists of phrase that you thought were catchy. Now it's more about being genuine and about being, you know, human and yourself, because you know, I keep thinking about this, and I'm just like, man, it's never before have I felt more like just writing for myself. I literally, like, I have a couple stations now in the house, you know, like I have a studio downstairs, and then I have like my piano station, and I have like a wrist station in my like lake room that I've been really excited about, and just kind of, I'm just like, okay, I'm going back to like when I was, you know, 16 and starting to play guitar in my dad's, you know, garage where he cleared out some space for me so that I could have my like 4-track recorder there.
Oh.
That's what it's come back to. Yeah. It's come back to what's important in my heart right now. Not what's important for the label, not what's important for radio, not what's important for like,
sure,
are people gonna like it? You know,
it's
just about that, which I think is a beautiful thing, and I'm choosing to like kind of just use this time to really, you know,
unplug,
dig into that.
Yeah, no, you unplug from the machine, and it's refreshing, and it's a lot like someone dunks your brain in cold water, because you're suddenly like, oh, that's right, this is a real world, and I'm awake again, and you have to look around you. You know what happened to me? I was out on the bike, and I had stopped, and my stereo was still on, and I was way out in the country. I stopped on a bridge. I may have had a little bottle with me, and I was having a sip. And that Buffalo...
May or may not.
Yeah. That Buffalo Springfield, For What It's Worth. Remember that song, Buffalo Springfield, For What It's Worth? Something happening here?
Oh, yeah.
And I mean, I got tore up listening to that song. All of a sudden, all the lyrics felt different. It all meant something else. I was like, what an incredible song, man.
Oh, it's crazy how lyrics mean something different. Now, even while performing, like I said, we did this like Twitch performance a couple days ago, and we played one of our songs, "The Silence," and then we played "Here's to Us," and even "Here's to Us," and also "The Silence." Like both of those songs mean, as I was singing it, I'm like even like with "Here's to Us," like the "Nothing lasts forever," which was always a confusing line. You know, to a lot of kids, like, what do you mean nothing lasts forever?
Nothing lasts forever.
We're in this right now.
Yeah.
Now all of a sudden it's like, oh God, it's there. But, I don't know, man. It's just, it's a crazy time. But music is so incredibly important and incredibly, therapeutic at this time. And it's, for me, I have this renewed belief in that magic and like I said the reason we all got into this is because of those feelings and because music was able to move you. And so now when we're all in this pandemic together, just listening to music and writing and playing, it's amazing how you get to rediscover that.
It saves you. I sat and watched all Blackberry Smoke's Homecoming, their last DVD they just did in Atlanta last year. Just last night, just because I just felt better. Just watching Charlie play and listening to his voice and listening to the songs, you get to walk away from it for a little while. And, I'm really excited for this new record for you. I think you may have to name it Quarantunes.
Yeah, thanks for you. or as you put it earlier, quarantini.
Depending
on how deep we get.
Whew, my check liver light is dangerously on. I was like, I feel like I came out of the gate strong on this whole thing. And I was like, I went to the liquor store, I stashed some liquor, and I realized I burned my, I'm like, okay, we're going to have to pace ourselves because there's too much free time now.
Yeah, we have a liquor store down the street that the guy knows us very well. Actually, like, I ended up seeing him at a strip club like 2 Valentine's days ago. I'm not even joking.
I couldn't love her more.
And I looked at him and was like, oh, wait, that's the guy I buy my wine from. Hey, buddy, how you doing, man?
That's so great.
Yeah, what's up, man? Isn't this crazy? Yeah, I don't know. We probably shouldn't be, like, casually talking here, but it's cool.
That's so great.
But it's funny because, like, now, like, in turn, like every time, like, I go and he's like, oh, didn't I just see you doing this thing? I'm like, yeah, hey, man. But he's apparently, he's still open, but he's the only employee there. The owner is the only guy there. And so, like, because it's strange in, like, everybody else is shutting down. But in Tennessee, there's so many places that have completely shut their doors. But there are a couple... Like, there's a couple exceptions. Like, they're, like, essentials. Well, I guess, like, liquor stores are, but still, like, from day to day, he's like, I don't know. I'm going to probably get shut down here any day. I'm just, like, waiting for the word. Yeah. We stocked up on, like, a bunch of wine and whatever. And it was, like, we start, like, looking at the box. But, yeah, you know, maybe, like, a bottle of wine a night is not necessarily...
Oh, see, my problem is one's not enough, three's too many. There's just no good answer for any of those.
There's no good answer. I know, that's what we've learned.
I got to tell you, I thank you so much for just, hanging on the show today, because for a lot of reasons. A, I'm just glad to hear you guys are great. B, I think for people who, are out there listening and just all of us, man, we're in this together. And the more everybody realizes that no matter where you are, it doesn't matter if you're a Grammy award-winning multi-platinum rock star or you're a guy who's working construction today. We're all in the same fight together, and we're all facing the exact same issue. And just, it's comforting to know, like you said, now, this is the great equalizer, man. It doesn't see a difference between your grandparents, my grandparents, my mother, my father, me, you, any of us. It just is bad, and we all kind of got to wrap our arms around it. Nikki left a beautiful note down on her cul-de-sac for some people that were older, saying, "Hey, my name's Nikki. I live at this address. This is my phone number. If you need me to pick something up at the grocery store for you, or even mow your yard." And I was like, that's so great. So this weekend, I came up with some extra toilet paper from a friend who has a grocery store, and we put them in gallon bags with a note and some hand sanitizer. It just said, this is your Corona survival package. This is my phone number. And then the older people in there put, hey, if you need me for anything, or if you need my girlfriend for anything, here's her number and her name, and we'll come to you. We'll come. We won't have contact. We'll leave it on your porch. And it's just something small to do. But I would feel, I just remember thinking, man, that's a great idea, Nick, because I would feel good if that ended up in my mailbox or on my porch.
And you just know, if they may not use it, they may use it. Just leave it ziplocked in there with a little note, handwritten, you know, you should yell if you need to.
Yeah.
The end. It costs you nothing.
Absolutely. And like, the you know, those of us, all of us that can, you know, do those things should, you know, and it's a beautiful thing to do. And also, man, like, you're just gonna feel really good, you know, when you do that stuff. And it's like, that's what you get addicted to, that humanity and the fact that you're able to reach out. And that's just such a beautiful thing, Johnny. That's really cool that you're doing that.
You know what? It makes you feel better about our current situation. So it does more for the person doing it, I think, than even the person receiving it. Just, you know, you just go, okay, now I have some control over something. I can help others. I can help maybe calm them or make them feel better. Do this show makes me feel better because I feel like maybe we're helping a little bit. And that's all you want to gain some control back over your life.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, and also, you know, you're helping push forward. You know, there's a lot of people. There's so many people that are either they're people that were living from paycheck to paycheck. They need help, you know, or maybe they can't go out because of, you know, the risk or whatever it is. It's like there are so many people that are struggling right now that you can help, you know. And it's like there's so many, you know, and even if you don't want to, like, do the, you know, the packaging thing, there's so many places that you can donate.
Yes.
And just make sure that you're doing your part, you know, if you can do, you know.
Yeah, that's it. And you got to pass the time. You and Joe, be safe. Of course, everybody, RJ and Josh, a huge love to them. And your mom and dad are doing well. Everybody was okay in the family?
Yeah, the fam's okay. Like, we're lucky. Everybody, you know, all the fam and except for everybody being a little shack wacky, you know, you know, going a little out of insane. We're all doing good. So yeah, and I'll definitely pass that along to them too, because they'll enjoy that.
Well, we'll stay in touch, and hopefully within, you know, a month, month and a half, two maximum, we'll be all back to normal, back out on the road. Everybody will be out there at the shows, and we'll all get to give each other a hug and talk about how we lived through the weirdest time of our lives.
Absolutely. It's going to be a major party when all of us I'll let you know how the Alice Cooper head game goes.
I love you. I love you.
Thanks, guys.
Wonderful.
Thank you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.